going on, AfterBuzz family? You knocked and we are buzzing you in. It's time for another after show for Insecure. We've got Obsession, Tithes, and Subconscious Mind coming up next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Do it.
Take me to the
king.
Take
me to him. Not at all.
Mm-mm. Feel the spirit, y'all.
Come on.
So fake.
I just hear like Kirk Franklin, like his weird ad libs. Come on now.
Hey, hold this my part.
Truth is, I'm tired.
I'm so dang tired.
Oh, this is nice. Character's tired.
So dang few.
I'm trying to pray.
I tried. Got down on my knees.
He's amazing.
Lord, yeah. Where are you? Where are you, Lord? He's in here right now at AfterBuzz, actually. Do you feel
it? Yeah, I feel the spirit.
It's a Sunday.
I feel it.
Did anybody go to church today?
No.
Sin. Sin is within. Man. Hey, you guys, it's Sunday. We are feeling very holy, just like Lawrence, right here on AfterBuzz TV Presents Insecure. We're back for season, what are we on, three?
Mm-hmm.
Episode 7, and we only have one left.
Crazy.
Wow. Next week.
One?
Crazy.
We just started.
They need to really stretch this out or get into 1 hour episodes.
Yeah.
Well, once again, it's AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, McCall Hall. And to my left, we have...
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Drew Jones.
It's Louisa Shar here.
Hey, it's Marielle Turner.
And this is Insecure. Boy, oh boy. Okay. First things first. What do we think? One word to sum up this episode.
I would say exhausting.
Exhausting. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. One word.
Desperate.
Yeah, I can see
that. Triggering.
Ah, that's so relevant.
You know what? I want triggering. I want that. Yes.
Need a hug.
Relatable.
One word to sum it up for me. Damn.
Oh, yep. That covers it.
That's a good one.
Damn. So, like I said, Obsession, Tithes, and Subconscious Minds. I have a few themes that I feel like happened tonight. Number one, the whole Obsession piece, that's very obvious. Issa will get into that. The tithing piece, we see Lawrence going into church and actually getting some connections through church that might be beneficial. And the subconscious mind. Now, this is a deep one. Because it's like what you're telling yourself about yourself and others will really F you up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like all of them have subconscious mind issues on this episode.
Amen.
All of them. Mm. But let's get into the first thing, Obsession. Damn, Issa, can't find Daniel. Where is your boy?
She was doing a lot.
A lot.
I mean, I know Nathan ghosted her, and we've all been there, and it's the worst.
Talked about it.
But if this is a guy that you're just getting to know, you're dating him, y'all were physical, but you're not in a relationship. Can you really pop up at this Negro's house, go into his bedroom, try to get on his computer? Like, if a man did that to me, I would call the police. Like, I feel like it was too much.
But let's take a step back. I mean, before she even got to a place where she was at his house going on his computer, she's waking up every morning checking her phone to see if he calls. Now, I heard a quote. Now, you guys all love your Instagram. I kind of like it. But somebody said, people will check their phones before they figure out if their hands and legs are working in the morning. That is, like, crazy to me. Issa's not even figuring out if she has working extremities, and she's worried about Nathan. Her priorities, in my opinion, a little messed up.
But I was that girl, though, before. Like, before waking up, you just go to your vanity next door, you just get it, and you just open the phone. You're like, who liked your pictures? It's so relatable and scary. So when she said triggering, those are things people do. And I think Issa right now, I feel like she's not happy where she is with her career. That also makes you go back and check your phone every second because you're bored. You don't have anything to do.
No distractions.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I think her go-to is to obsess over guys whenever she's, like, not on stable ground with other things in her life. And just to clarify, when I said this episode was triggering, I wasn't referring to her obsession with
No, you ain't never broke into anyone's house. Tell us what it's about. You ain't gotta tell
us. We don't love these men's out here. But, I feel bad, like, I mean, I guess it's the subconscious mind thing, but I feel bad for all the things she instantly starts assuming about herself because of her obsession.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Poor now, Issa. But here's my question for you. In the three seasons we've been covering the show, has Issa ever had stability to where she wasn't obsessing about a guy, right? Because your whole point is when things aren't going for right for her any other way, mm-hmm. she obsesses about guys.
Yeah.
Isn't that always the...
It's always, but I'm saying that's why she's, like, obsessing over Nathan like she is, because she needs it. To direct it at, so she has to have a guy to direct it at.
Mm-hmm. And like, Daniel's MIA too, so it's like she was focused on Nathan. And I think she's feeling guilt and regret now with the whole the Coachella hookup and all that. She did say that, which is so bad when you just...
What happens at Coachella stays at Coachella.
Right. But now she's going to overanalyze everything in her mind. Maybe I'm not a good kisser, or maybe, you know, I shouldn't have had sex with him too quickly, and all these stuff just mess you up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's also what she mentioned, and that Nathan made her feel like she wasn't constantly messing up. And if you look at the rest of the seasons, people around her kind of make her feel like she's, you know, like that's Kelly's there to remind her that her finances are a mess. Molly's there to remind her that her life is a mess. Lawrence was there to remind her that she wasn't a good girlfriend and that she messed that up. Mm-hmm. So I think she finally had a person that made her feel like, it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay that my life isn't together. So for him to ghost her, she really internalized that. Like she said, she like opened herself up.
That's a really interesting point, and I love what you brought up. But I wonder if her appreciation for Nathan was more like, I have a one-up on him. At least I'm not as bad as Nathan. And it was like something to make her feel better, or did she genuinely, I don't know, like... We'll never know, right? Yeah. But part of me is like, maybe she liked him because she felt like, well, at least I ain't as broken, raggedy as this mug. And I'm like God to him because, you know, at least I got my own spot. You know what I mean? Like, did she like him because he made her feel bigger than what she was?
You have a point there.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just assuming
it's
here.
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Oh, he's a barber, but look at me.
You know?
Like that, yeah.
I have a 401k. What did he have? Sometimes you just need like that person to kind of, you know, make you feel better about your situation. Mm-hmm. Now, they brought up this thing that I have never done. Stalker accounts on IG. Do you guys... Okay, I'm not going to ask you if you have a stalker account. Have you heard of a stalker account, and what are your feelings on the stalker account?
I'll be straight up with y'all. I don't have a stalker account. I have a Finsta.
What's that?
What's a Finsta?
Put us up on game.
Finsta's, I think a lot of, like, professional people have Finstas, because obviously, like, working in media, we can't post all the stupid stuff we want to post. So you have a Finsta. It's private. Only your close friends follow that, and then you can post whatever. Which, I only post, like, stupid memes, so mine might as well be public, but whatever. Anyway, sometimes I will look up stuff on my Finsta so that, like, my name won't pop up. It's my Finsta name. Mm.
Yeah.
And
you mean stories when you look at
stories.
So I
guess technically it could be a stalker account, but I don't ever message anybody or anything from that. It's just like, I don't want so-and-so to see my name pop up because I don't want to give them that satisfaction of seeing my name pop up. So I'm like, I'll watch it on my Finsta account.
I see how you do.
Is that petty?
Yes. I see how you do, girl.
I've had that group stalker account, just like Issa texted the group. It was me and two other girls. We had, you know, we had the username, we had the password, and whoever we wanted to check up on, we would do it. Not anymore, but I think it's common, especially everyone being so social media crazed, figuring out who's up to what. It's not healthy, but I think, you know, it's doable. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never had a fake social media account, because I just feel like it's too... It would be too easy, right? Because when I break up with someone, I don't want to be reminded of them.
Yeah,
I don't want to... Like, I'm doing my best not to go on their profile. So if I had a fake account that me and my girlfriends had, I know I'd be logging on, like, every day. Like, oh, what are we doing today? You know, it's just too... It's easier and healthier for me to just have my one.
Yeah.
And that way, I don't have to worry about going on there.
Fair. I barely use the one that I have, so I don't have a stalker account. But I will say that when you get ghosted, it is one of the most... numbing, and I've been ghosted all of twice, but that feeling, it's like you start wondering again, like, did I do something wrong? You know what I mean? Like, this is why I want to talk about the subconscious mind, because you start telling yourself all this stuff because of the energy of someone who you have only known for a few, you know, moments in time, but you're allowing them to get so deep into your head. Like, I don't know, what are your guys' experiences with being ghosted, and have you ever, and I'm not asking to put all your business out there, but is that typical?
ghosting sucks, especially now with, like, social media the way it is, because you can see that that person's still very clearly, like,
active,
fine,
yeah,
doing their thing. Right. Like, Issa sees, like, where Nathan's still cutting hair and doing all this
yeah.
stuff. Like, because it's just like, okay, well, you don't seem that busy, so.
Right.
Like, what's up with that? But, yeah, it's so easy to, like. Because you, I feel like ghosting's also hard because you don't want to, like, voice to everyone else that you're getting ghosted. So you're just, like, internally trying to figure out what's going on. But, I don't know, it's a lot.
It's two things. It's that hard truth where you're like, oh my God, he's just not into you. It's that. Because we all know, end of the day, if a man wants you, he wants you. He will move mountains. He will text you and call you.
Mm-hmm. Come on, get this word.
I've learned. We all know that.
Come on and get this word.
And, you know, and number two, it's insecurities. Just like you said, what did I do wrong? Did mm-hmm. I not say enough? Was I not pretty enough? Oh my God, does he have someone else? It's all kinds of messed up stuff you just say to yourself.
Yeah, like, does he have somebody else? Like, we saw yeah. Issa look at his Instagram.
Yeah.
And, who's that? Who's that? So, you know, I can't cuss anymore, you guys, because, you know, YouTube be hating. But it was his mom. But you immediately go to the worst of the worst with
right,
everything.
Right, somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I have ghosted before. Maybe not to that level, but mine has been like, oh, we went on a date. Maybe I wasn't really feeling it, and that was that.
Yeah.
So I've never ghosted to the point where we were, like, talking and intimate and all of this, and then I just disappear because I think
yeah.
that's pretty messed up. And then as far as being ghosted, like, if I ever felt like a guy was ghosting me, I kind of just called him out on it. Like, you can't be that busy. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, and at that point, I think if you're just straight up, the person will probably tell you some BS. And then you just know and move on. So that's
yeah.
kind of what I've always done in that situation. Like, I'm an adult. You're an adult.
Yeah.
What's happening? Like, we don't need this
yeah,
game
I don't like playing.
Do you think that Issa would have been more able to kind of move on if she at least got an F you from Nathan? Like, even if he sent her a text like, hey, don't like you, F you, F off.
I think
it's so.
Yeah, because it's like, at least I know, like, that it's not. Because it's so easy to be like, well, maybe he broke his phone. You know, you can so
yeah,
easily, like, play
some
or BS. But, like, I feel like, in all honesty, if you've been texting him all the time and he's obviously present on social media and all this other stuff, then, like, you just got to let it go.
Yeah.
And
well, also because he's not even throwing breadcrumbs at her. It's nothing. It's just complete MIA. And last week we even talked about maybe he's in jail or something like that because he seems kind of shady in that way. That's why she's going crazy, because there's nothing from him at all.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved when Molly said to her, why would you even want a man like that?
Yeah,
and that's what
right.
you have to remember. It's like, that was great for her to point out. Why would you even want a man that would sleep with you and then never hit you up again? Like, who
wants,
you could be better than that. And I think Issa just didn't realize it until Molly, like, it was a light bulb moment. Like, hey,
that moment was really dope, because as we remember in episode or season one, Molly was hesitant to call Issa on her stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had that big blow up moment because they let stuff build up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see Molly just say, hey, straight up, like, you're messing up, like,
yeah.
you're being ridiculous. Season one, she wouldn't have done that. She would have let Issa be out there looking stupid,
and she was not. That was not a good look. Like,
it was a terrible look. It was a terrible look.
Crack
forget
addict
that
going
man.
In the room.
So there's definitely growth.
I just wish what Molly does for Issa she could do for herself.
So let's
yeah.
move into Molly. Let's move into Molly. Her obsession with the wrong guys. My God.
Asian
wrong
Bay.
Guys at work.
Just like
wrong
Asian
Bay
love you.
Right. I think she's always, like, shooting herself in the foot. It's like, you know, yeah, he was a little bit harsh, but he was also being very real. I mean,
it wasn't his place. I know you think he was being real, but it just wasn't his place for a first or second date. You don't just go in like that and say, you know what, you're messing with a married man. You don't know the situation.
But you don't know the situation.
But she called him in a relationship.
But she called him out
first. Yeah, she was
okay,
like, fine. You just gonna kiss your boys, girl.
And he was
like,
joking back. Like, it wasn't, she.
It was playful, it was sensitive for her, so she
yeah,
felt
yeah.
very offended.
Yeah, he probably didn't even like the idea of that, so that's why he had to.
But he
even,
let's be honest. You know, Molly didn't even want to go out with him at first because he was Asian American. Shout out to my Asian American brothers and sisters out
yeah.
there.
He's
very
cute. You know what I'm saying?
He's
so
beautiful.
He's so cute.
He's cute.
Yeah.
But it's like when you go out somewhere and it's like you're already tired, you already are irritable, like you didn't want to be there in the first place, and then they ran out of vodka or they ran out of whatever. And it's like, I didn't even want to be here in the first
yeah.
place. You know, and so
mm-hmm.
I think that's what happened with Molly. She kind of wanted to go out with him, but she kind of didn't want to go out with him. And then you're going to say something like that to me?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I just wish I feel like at work and in her personal life, she's always making it harder for herself. Mm. You know, just be a little more easygoing. Like, you don't have to overexert yourself at work and having the meeting when he asked you to, like, just give it a few more days. Yeah. Wait a few more days. And, like, with the cute Asian guy who wants to date you, girl, let the man date you. Yeah. It's just, like, why?
She has control issues. I will say that. I think that Molly has control issues, and it's a great thing. It's a great thing in professional settings because it can get you to a certain place, but then even in the professional setting, it can get you caught up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Molly just doesn't know how to just relinquish mm-hmm. and let things play out.
Yeah, I think Molly has such a hardcore vision for herself that she refuses to let it have any type of alteration, or possibly, maybe, you don't know necessarily what's best for yourself in this moment. She's so, like, with Asian Bae, she's so convinced that she needs to be with a black man. Like, this dude is cool, and he's, like, clearly down.
He's got a man bun? I love a good man bun.
Yeah, like, and he's, and he can keep up with her, like, toe-to-toe, and it's like, this guy could be really good for you, but you're so set on having this, like, the black love thing, which I get, but, like, this could easily be just as good for you, but you're so focused on this, and then you're so focused on being, like, the HBIC at work that you can't, like, take second fiddle for 2 seconds because maybe something better is going to come along for you. Like, I don't know.
She's blocking her blessings.
Yeah. She does block her blessings. She blocks them a lot because you said something very poignant. She has this, like, vision for herself, but that's because as a kid she didn't have certain things. Mm. And so Molly's that girl that grew up with, you know, limited resources. Like, when I grow up, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. And she'll be damned if anything gets in the way. Girl, the life that you have planned, let's take it back to church.
Come on.
Let's have a word.
Yeah, Speaking of
blessings, and this is for everybody. The life that you plan for yourself, trust and believe God has a much bigger and better plan. You have to relinquish a little bit of that control to let it evolve and manifest.
That's beautiful. Thanks for that on this Sunday. I needed that for this Sunday evening.
I just had to get it off my chest because I keep looking at Molly.
Yeah.
And she's just strong-arming everything. Mm-hmm. Even her apparel this year, and not apparel, I mean, her outfits. She's very sharp, very buttoned up. You know, show a little skin at work.
Mm-hmm.
Unbutton that top button, girl.
And I think that's why he said, you know, I've met two Mollies. Like, mm-hmm. I met the one at Coachella that was more free and wanting to have fun and just kind of out there. And then there's this new Molly that's just like, no, this is the way it has to be. And I'm not going to budge. And I, you know, it's just, she needs to relax.
Well, it's funny that she's being micromanaged at work, and it's like, but she tries to micromanage her life. But Molly can't, she can dish it, but she can't take it, right? Mm-hmm. She can micromanage love, she can micromanage da-da-da, but she can't be micromanaged. And this is why she's having a problem at work. That's just my opinion. My opinion.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the tithing and Lawrence and Chad going to church because, you know,
B-words
be at church in the words of Chad.
Chad ended up, you know, enjoying it more and feeling like he needed it more than Lawrence.
I died. That scene was hilarious. Yeah. Shout out to the writers.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we've all been at a church where we heard a sermon like that. Yeah. We're just like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah.
And for Chad to feel the word, like, I just thought it was hilarious.
Honestly, Chad's the one that needs to be in there the most.
Because
didn't Chad just get married and he's already divorced?
Yeah.
Yeah, he cheated on her.
Yeah, exactly. I love it, though, because, like, I worked in a church when I was in college. I worked in the youth. And I remember just seeing, like, people come up for the weekly altar call. And I was like, didn't I just see you? Throwing it back last night. Like, okay, go on.
Well, okay, so Chad's whole point is there are women at church. He used a different word, but we're going to say women. Mm-hmm. And Lawrence actually meets a young lady at church. Just early prediction. This is not our official predictions, but do we actually think that this is going to go somewhere, or did she just find him at a vulnerable moment?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do exactly how he did with Tasha, if it even goes to that point.
Oh, Lord.
Because you could see how she was saying, like, yeah, you know, I go to Bible study, then I do this at the church and that at the church, and opening up more about her life. And that's when he was like, he stops, he paused, like, eh. And then when she said, hey, am I going to see you? He's like, I'll hit you later. I don't know.
And he saw Issa for coffee.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. He could have went to Bible study.
Behavioral patterns.
I think it was one of those, like, I need structure. And then when structure presented himself, he was like, not that kind of structure.
Yeah.
I
was like, I'm good.
Going to Bible study.
He was like,
I wanted it, but not like that.
Yeah, not like in that.
Not like that.
You cute and all, but
Well, I do think that he's going, this is just my opinion, I think he's going to entertain this girl a little bit, because, like, I don't know if you guys have ever, now, I love sports. Like, when I date guys that are really into sports, it's nothing for me, because I'm like, that's what I love, you know what I mean? But sometimes women don't really like sports, but they'll be like, oh, I'm going to go to the game with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go watch the game, because they just want to impress him. Mm-hmm. I think Lawrence might be in the midst of that just a little bit, just to get into the draws. I think that could happen.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he went for his original purpose. Like, he's looking for something, right? Like you said, he wants structure. He's tired of the hooking up chlamydia life. And he was looking for something deeper. And I think when it presented itself, it was like, I'm not sure if this is exactly it. And I just think it was so interesting that that ended in Issa and Lawrence having a coffee date.
Lord.
I just don't know where that's going. It's very gray.
That coffee date, well, I don't know. I think that coffee date was, I don't have an opinion on it yet. I don't have an opinion on it yet. But I want to go back to Molly and Issa showing up at, what's his name? What's
Nathan.
Asian? But no, Asian
Andrew,
Bay.
Andrew.
With Portos.
He has a name. I don't want to call him Asian Bay.
Andrew.
So that part kind of confused me, like, maybe I was, like, not paying attention, but how did they make the decision to just go over to their house?
I think it was Issa pushed it.
Issa called Molly, right?
And she said, I need a favor, because Nathan is living at Andrew's house right now. And so Issa basically went to go over there and see if Nathan was there so she could say, where you been, what's going on, why haven't you hit
Psycho
me back?
Status.
And see if, you know, what else is going on. And then it just grew and grew, and then she was in the man's bedroom going through his underwear drawer.
So here's what baffled me about that as it relates to Molly. Why would you enable your friend to do something that foolish with, and he lives with a guy that you're also seeing? Like, that guy could look at you and be like, maybe she's capable of that kind of silly stuff too.
He did look at her like that, like, why are you here after that awkward date?
I don't think Molly knew that it was going to go to the point of her going through his things in the bedroom. I think she thought they'd just go to the front door and say, oh, you know, here's a priest offering. We'll be cool.
Yeah.
See if Nathan was home. And then if he's home, Issa could talk to him. And if not, they keep it moving. So I think that's why when she went upstairs and she saw her in the bedroom, she's like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
And she called her out in the car because I don't think she knew that it was going to get to that level.
Sometimes you gotta let your friends just do their own mess.
I agree.
I get the whole ride or die friend thing, but, like, Molly, let Issa figure out her mess.
I wouldn't have gone, I don't think.
They're just so different right now with work status and everything, and I think Issa always drags her in to cover up for her and all that mess that she's in.
I don't know, because I think Molly's equally as messy. I just think her messy is with a pretty bow on it.
Mm-hmm. Her messy is like, she has a professional messy, and Issa has a less put together messy, but they're equally have problems.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree. I can't even like move on from there. So did I miss anything that you guys wanted to talk about? Because, you know, I have my little themes. Did you guys have anything that was just burning on the inside of you?
I just want to hear people's opinions about, like, Issa and Lawrence coffee thing. And the seminar, like, what are your thoughts?
So, great point. The seminar. Lawrence encouraged her to go to the seminar, and she took the step, which I thought was beautiful because even if we aren't together, I still want to see you do your best. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that not only did he offer that piece of information, but she went with an open mind, well, kind of open mind, and went to that seminar. I thought that was dope.
What I think it shows is they're probably going to work together for the block party because he asked her. He said, who else is helping you? And she's like, no one, just me. So I think we're going to see how it's going to kind of get rekindled and, you know, his business mindset's going to help her because she has no one to help her. And then hopefully she's going to forget Nathan from the midst of this.
I mean, I don't know if I necessarily want her to go back to Lawrence right now.
But they're going to work together, I think, for the block party.
I could see that. I just think, like, with certain, like, because I'm friends with, for the most part, with most of my exes. And I think that your exes know you on a certain level that most people don't. And so they're able to kind of see things in you and know, like, where to navigate you or whatever. And so I think that's cool that she could do that. But I just, like, it just feels so early that, like, their interactions just kind of make me nervous.
Yeah, I agree. It, like, it has me very on edge.
Yeah.
Only because it's, like, I don't think... I would love them to be friends and be mature about it, but I'm not sure if that's the path they're going to take. And I'm also not sure if they decide to rekindle if Lawrence is really over what she did. Because I could see that, you know, where he seems like he's over it and then some pettiness comes out.
Yeah, so just he just needs to keep going to church. If you just keep going to church and healing your heart, you won't feel all that resentment. You know, the only thing that makes me nervous about Lawrence and Issa, you know, continuing to connect is the fact that Issa cannot not obsess and put her heart into men. Like, she hasn't, in my opinion, displayed the ability to just be friends with a guy. And so for me, I'm kind of like, she just needs to be alone, alone right now. I really do mean, like, alone. Like, seeing Molly maybe once a week alone.
Yeah.
She needs to be on an eat, pray, love journey. I've been, like, waiting for Issa to do an eat, pray, love. Because everything goes wrong in her life, but she tries to mask it and put Band-Aids on, and it just doesn't work. It does not work.
I think she would, especially dating Lawrence for so long, it might benefit her to take that time to just, like, who are you, you know, outside of men? What do you want? And I think she started on that journey, right? Because she quit her job. She's throwing the block party. So she has more of a focus and a vision. And I just, I don't want Lawrence to distract it. So if he's going to be in it, I want him to add to it and not, like, just make it even more messy. Because it's already so much.
And you want Lawrence to be there when he's at his absolute best. And he's already expressed, like, I'm not where I want to be spiritually and everything else. So why are these two broken people even trying to be friends?
Yeah, because it's frustrating because they could be so good together. What people have to understand is, like, if you're not complete and they're not complete, no matter how much y'all love each other, it's just not going to work. Because you got to go work on you and make sure that you, I don't think anyone can be fully complete, but you need to go work on you and make sure that you're at a place where you can have someone depend on you, or vice versa. And if you're sitting there, like, with two, like, half-assed foundations, like, you're not going to build
that's
anything.
So powerful, though, half-assed foundations.
She said
you
it.
Know,
I
it's all said about it. Self-love. I think once Issa figures out who Issa is, what does her soul want, what does she do, how much she loves herself, and not get distracted by all these F-boys all around her, then she's going to find her truth. The same with Lawrence. I think, but he's on that path. I respect him going to church. And maybe this church girl is going to be good for him. You know, if we see.
I just wish it wasn't a girl that needed to be good for. Like, I just want to see. Like you said, I want to see the eat, pray, love thing. I want to see them. Because I feel like our this age range, especially, not our generation necessarily, but this age range, it's like you have your friends getting married or starting their lives and or, like, some friends are, like, getting that dream job, or some friends are going on their first. I just found out one of my friends is on their second baby, and I was like,
what?
Baby?
Go off, sis. But it's like, you kind of almost put yourself in this weird, like, timer, like, okay, well,
gotta find husband.
The pressure. Yeah. It's that social pressure.
Yeah.
And we have no idea how to sometimes block it out. But if we do trust the universe and God and to know that we all have our timings differently, we can breathe. But still, that pressure is going to be there. We compare.
Or you don't even have to try. Like, if you don't believe in anything, don't trust anything. Just trust me. Yeah. Like, figure out you.
Yeah, exactly. Just figure out yourself and know that it will come to you when the time is right.
Now, I do think that down the road, I don't know if you, because my parents, you know, never divorced, but I have a lot of friends who have divorced parents. And sometimes you can end up being better friends, like, down the road with the person that you were with for a long time.
Yeah.
And you brought up something, or who said it, about them working together on the block party?
Yeah.
That could happen. They could end up being better business partners, like, 2 or 3 years from now than they were ever, you know, lovers or anything. They could end up being great business partners.
That's so common. It does happen in relationships. Like you said, you're friends with most of your exes, right? You come back stronger than ever, but not on a romantic level.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. They have to try to clarify what they're doing. Because you don't want one of them to have, like, I'm afraid Issa's going to have feelings, Lawrence is going to be in and out. Like, you just want to make sure they're both on the same page of, like, we're going to be good friends, or we're going to be rekindling and just no gray, because that, I think, will go bad for both of them.
Yeah.
I will say, just want to move forward with a couple of things I'm disappointed in this episode. I'm disappointed that I didn't see Kelly and Tiffany.
And Daniel.
I knew this was going to happen.
Well, I mean, I could do it at the end.
Yeah, I could do it.
I could do it. You know, Daniel could just go. Even though he's fine, I could do it without him.
Yeah. But I had a feeling when they brought Lawrence back that it was going to take away from Kelly and Tiffany's story. Because you can only fit so much in 30 minutes. Yeah.
You can only fit so much in 30 minutes. But what I feel like this show resonates with women in particular. I know a lot of guys watch the show, and that's why having Lawrence there is so important, because guys stand for Lawrence, the Lawrence Hive. Shout out to
you
guys.
They do.
Shout out to Daniel.
Shout out to Khalil and the Lawrence Hive. But I think that all four of these young ladies have so many, like, unique perspectives that are actually very relatable to, like, everybody that watches this show. I wish that they did more, like, what's the term? Ensemble episodes where they're all there. Those are the best episodes to me. When they when they start to fragment, they become kind of slow, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
And isolated, kind of.
Yeah, when they, like, just focus on just Issa or just Molly, or, you know what I mean? Like, it gets kind of slow. But when they're all together, it's so dynamic.
Mm-hmm. And we were kind of talking earlier, just seeing it kind of almost like a Sex and the City, where you have the four girls and the focus is on them and their lives and their jobs, and less on, like, just the two and the guys, and, like, so much focus on the men, I think, in the show. It'd be kind of better to focus on the four girls and their friendship and seeing that grow, I think, would be really interesting for the show.
Oh, yeah, especially with Tiffany and her baby right now on the way. So many other stuff they can explore, so.
Can we have a whole episode of just what Kelly does?
Yeah, like, have a Kelly episode.
I would love just a Kelly episode. I'm so fascinated by her.
She's so funny.
So I want to talk about a little bit of news, which we don't technically have news, but the Emmys happened. So would you like to fill us in on what happened at the Emmys?
I will let you guys know, sadly, Issa Rae did not take home the Emmy. Rocks. She was up for her Emmy. She did not win it.
Who won? For the people who didn't watch.
It was Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Yeah. They took all the comedy Emmys, y'all.
Okay.
They swept the categories. Yeah. Insecure.
Emmy's so white.
It did not come home with anything. And right after Issa lost, she was caught on her cell phone during Betty White was honored with an honorary Emmy for, you know, being an icon, and Issa was caught on her phone on camera. But she had a very good explanation for why she was on her phone. She was on, I believe it was Jimmy Kimmel, and she said that the reason she was on her phone is that her phone was broken, and she was probably texting her family because she had just lost. So,
can we believe that? Yeah, I guess we do.
I mean, can't really be upset that she had to check her phone really quick. Look, she just lost.
Also, I love Betty White, but if I just lost the Emmys and my family was texting me, I'd be like, all right, let me.
Look, right. I think The Insecure has at least another 2 or 3 years in there. I mean, obviously, I'd hope for a little bit longer. It's still a relatively new show.
Yeah.
And you guys know how political these award shows are. Mm-hmm. They're going to make you wait. They're going to make you wait.
Jon Hamm, unless they pull a Mad Men. They made, you know,
wait forever until
he got his Emmy, you know. Yeah. But I think Insecure will definitely reach something with the Emmys and get something.
But also, you already know that the Emmys and the Oscars only nominate brown people. They don't let us win that often. So.
That's true. Because there is, like, high level of diversity for nominations at the Emmys. And in terms of wins, it was really low.
It was, like, Regina King. And that was it.
Well, you know, Issa Rae. So I kind of feel like Issa Rae has no problem speaking out against any kind of racial injustice, any of that kind of stuff. I mean, what was it, the Emmys? Or what award show was she at when she said, I'm rooting for everybody black?
And that was the Emmys last year.
Right. Yep. So part of me is like, you know, I think the powers that be might have had a little bit of a feeling about that and prevented her from actually winning.
Oh.
You know,
maybe
we gonna we going to show you. We'll let you nominated. Come. You know, we'll let you come.
We'll nominate you.
We'll let you come. Yeah. But, you know, we're going to show you what we really think about you.
Well, I can't even tell y'all who won the Emmys last year, so.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's not that serious.
Yeah. Maybe next year, Issa, our girl, will take home the Emmy.
I hope
Fingers
so. I hope that they win an Emmy for amazing writing and just the structure of the show. I hope the show continues to grow. Mm-hmm. The past couple of, I think this season's been kind of highs and lows. And I would like to see the season, you know, progress and just stay on a trajectory and grow. That's my only thing about this season.
It got too real this season.
Yeah.
It got real.
Like, I felt like it was too, not in a bad way, but we were talking about earlier. It feels so much like real life or like something that you've already, like, the topics were just so real and some of the storylines were a little too.
Yeah, it's not, relatable. There's no escapism. So, like, a lot of times you watch TV to, you know, escape, to get away from what's going on with your life and your job and whatever. And I think Insecure, especially, you know, for women of color who are a certain age, like, it's so realistic so that it's realistic. Like, oh my God, this is my life. Like, I literally live this life scene for scene. So I think if you're looking for something that's a little outside of what you're going through, you might be triggered.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that I'm struggling job wise right now, but I'm saying, like, it's one of those things that's like, okay, I've been there.
Oh, yeah. I know how this happens. It's so relatable. Starting over at a certain age and all that. Yeah.
Well, let's move on to our final thing. You know, we have to do predictions. Next week is the final episode. I cannot believe we're at the final episode.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
So, you know, we'll start at the end with you.
I feel like the show is so hard to predict. I think, obviously, the Black Party, and I mentioned this, I believe, last episode, the Black Party is going to be the big finale episode. I think that Lawrence and Issa are going to have some kind of altercation, conversation about where they are mm-hmm. in this gray area that they're in. I think Nathan's going to pop up at the Black Party and cause trouble. Mm-hmm. Don't know how. Maybe he'll clarify where he's been. I don't know, but I do think he's going to make an appearance. Molly is clearly going to be, and she's either going to be rewarded for what she did, but also knowing that she made enemies in the office, or the partners are going to go in on her for going behind Torian's back. But either way, it's going to be a bad situation. And I think Tiffany might drop the baby, maybe. That would be, you know, just throw them in there.
Like, baby Dubois.
Yeah, drop the baby at the Black Party.
Gosh, let's see. Okay, I think Issa and Nathan are going to work together just for the Black Party. I don't think they're going to rekindle. I think they're going to keep it professional. I think we won't see Nathan probably until next season. I just have that feeling. We do see the episode where it's going to be her birthday, so I think all the girlfriends are going to rekindle, and I think Tiffany's going to have her baby, and everything's going to be okay for a while. But yeah, I don't see Nathan right now for a while. And as far as Molly, I think she's going to reconnect with Dro for some reason, just for lingering stuff. I just have that, because I think she's going to go back to her therapist, because we haven't seen that episode when she opens up to the therapist about Dro. We had that cliffhanger when the therapist says Dro. And she just has to battle at work, I think, to find her balance so she won't overstep on people.
She needs to go. My opinion, Molly needs to open up her own law firm and go private practice.
Hey,
it's coming down
be
to
your
that,
own boss.
Though. It's coming
you need
down
to be
to
your
that.
Own boss. Issa's taking the step to be her own boss. Molly, you have conflicts everywhere you work. Mm-hmm. Just work for your damn self. Go on.
Yeah. I see a three-way. I see Daniel, Lawrence, and Nathan.
Oh, then you mean like a three-way.
Yeah.
I'm going to pop up.
Wouldn't be mad at that either. But... I see all them popping up. I kind of see, it looks like Issa and Molly were going to maybe butt heads about something. Mm. And I wonder if it's because either maybe Molly has seen Nathan and didn't say anything to Issa about it, or I think it's about a guy. So I think maybe Molly and Lawrence are still cool, and like Issa's finding about that and getting butt hurt. But I see it being something stupid like that where they kind of bump heads. And yeah, I see Tiffany maybe dropping the baby.
So not only do I think that Tiffany's going to drop... So my favorite character on this show has always been Tiffany. Tiffany is my favorite damn character.
Really?
Because... I'll get into why I like Tiffany at a later date, but because I know we're running short on time. But I want to say that I had an epiphany last week watching that baby shower episode. In my opinion, Amanda Seales has become her own kind of star. And I think that she could carry her own show. And I think there are a lot of people out there who watch Insecure like me who are really obsessed with Tiffany. I think there's going to be a spinoff after the baby drops. Because if you think back to a couple episodes, Tiffany goes, I don't know if it'll ever be the same, right? And she said it like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, be as tight with you guys in the future. And that happens with a lot of friend groups. And I think that Tiffany should have her own show, because there are a lot of women who relate to what she's going through. Being married, mm-hmm. still trying to be cool, and mm-hmm. now she's going to have the kid. And, like, that's going to be a whole nother, you know, a plethora of comedies and so hilarious scenes that you can build out. I could see them having a spinoff like the Dubois, and it would do very, very well. I could see Tiffany dropping the baby next week, and then we start hearing about this new spinoff called The Dubois.
I'd watch it.
I tune in immediately.
Does that mean we get more Kelly?
Maybe. Hopefully. Yeah.
Somebody give me
Kelly's
some more Kelly.
So funny. If anybody knows Kelly. Where Kelly is at, could you hit us up at AfterBuzz TV across the board on social media?
Natasha,
and,
I love you.
And if you want to send me a DM and tell me where Kelly is at, you can find me on social media at McCall Hall of Fame. And where can they find you guys?
You guys can find me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
Louisa Shore at Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me at Mariel_Turner.
Hey, we'll see you guys next week. But make sure you stay just grounded. You know, pray, eat, pray, love, do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Have a great week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, will soon test the new Marie Menounos with Martha Gaines to tune into AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world. In fact, we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.